The Cure of a Fractured Skull, March 1909. Sister Therese seemed to show a special favor to my family. 2 years ago, she cured me of a tubercular disease, and now my brother, 11 years of age, has just been suddenly saved by her. Here are the facts of the case. On Saturday, August 22, 1908, he met with a dreadful accident, falling a height of about 20 feet through a trap door into a cellar. He struck his head on a terrible blow. The poor boy was picked up unconscious, and blood was streaming from the wound. The doctor declared it was a matter of 2 hours. The skull had been fractured in several places, and death was imminent. Nevertheless, the night passed, and he was still living. The doctor called in a surgeon, who, without hesitation, confirmed the opinion of his confrère. Humanly speaking, there was no chance of life. I had myself heard the doctor's verdict, and in the face of such an opinion, it would have been folly to dare hope. But I was guilty of this folly, likewise my parents, and on August 24, at my request, Reverend Mother, you began a novena to Sister Therese. Meanwhile, violent and repeated attacks caused us much alarm. On 4 occasions we thought death was at hand, and for 8 days the poor child was unconscious and in wild delirium. On the 9th day he recognized everyone around him and became quite calm. The cure was complete. It was only remained for him to regain strength, which he did within a very short time. He is now at school without any trace, either physical or mental, of his accident. Trampled upon by a horse, New York, August 12, 1909. For the glory of God and of his servant, Therese, the little flower of Jesus, I wish to make known a great favor received through the intercession of this holy Carmelite. The grace obtained is the extraordinary cure of my sister, who had been fatally injured. She was walking in the street of New York on the morning of July 30, 1909, when she was knocked down by a restive horse and trampled upon. Her face was horribly bruised, and her head so injured that she was covered with blood. Worse still, her ribs were broken and driven into the lungs. The heart was also injured. In a word, she was a most pitiable object. She did not, however, lose consciousness, even in her intense agony, and was able to make her confession in the street to a priest who had hastened from the nearest church. The doctor of the New York ambulance did not think that she could possibly reach the hospital alive, and all the hope he could hold out was that only 1 in 1,000 would recover after such terrible injuries. The poor girl hung the whole day between life and death, and towards midnight all hope was given up. Every breath seemed to be her last. She remained in this agony till August 3rd, and then it was that a nun, who was very devout to Sister Therese, advised us to put our whole confidence in her and begin a novena. I gave my sister a relic of the little saint, which she applied to her mangled body with the greatest confidence. At once she began to mend, and on the last day of the novena she was saved. Her lung grew perfectly strong again, and her health has become good as before the accident. Apparition to a First Communicant. On January 2, 1910, one of our pupils, aged 11 and of frail appearance, became feverish. A fortnight later, the little girl found on getting up that her legs were painful and that she could scarcely walk. The doctors attributed this pain to weakness, prescribed a tonic in order that her legs should be massaged, but the little patient would scream when they were touched. Another doctor was consulted, and he insisted on making the child walk. She could take not one step without help, and it caused her intense suffering, while all massaging became unbearable. The parents, finding these remedies of no avail, and much distressed at their child's sufferings, consulted a third doctor, who treated her for hip joint disease. At the end of a month, far from having yielded to the new treatment, she had grown worse. Not only did her legs, now quite useless, cause her pain, but her back did so too. The bones became disjointed and a hump began to form. A specialist was next consulted, and he gave us his opinion that the patient was suffering from paralysis of the spinal cord. He proposed having recourse to electricity and said that at the end of a year she might walk, possibly. Our little pupil was very downcast. The first communion day was drawing near, and she felt she would be unable to approach the altar with her companions. Finding all human means unavailing, it occurred to me to tell her of Sister Therese of the Child Jesus, whose life I was then reading, and I advised her to ask for her intercession. At this she became quite bright. "The little flower of Jesus will cure me," she explained. "I shall walk for my first communion." From that day she invoked her constantly, "Little flower, cure me. Little flower, pray for me." Morning and evening, the parents joined their prayers to hers, and the school children likewise prayed most earnestly. But the little flower seemed deaf to our entreaties. 3 weeks before the first communion day, the sufferer was worse than ever, and all hope of curing was abandoned. According to the doctor's advice, she had undergone electric treatment twice, but all to no purpose, and besides, he had not said she may be able to walk in a year's time. During the night between Wednesday and Thursday and Easter week, the little invalid was lying as usual in her bed, with a light burning in the room because of her sleepiness and great timidity. Suddenly, on opening her eyes, she saw, to use her own words, a pretty little face smiling at her. She was rather frightened, and made the sign of the cross. The apparition smiled still more, and seemed to come closer. "You will soon be able to walk," it said, "this very day even." It remained a few minutes longer, smiling all the while on the little friend, now quite reassured. Then it vanished. In the morning the happy Marie said to her parents, "I am going to walk today. I have seen the little flower during the night, and she told me so." Marie had never seen a photograph of Sister Therese, but her heart told her that this angelic vision could be none other than the little saint she had so confidently invoked. Towards 3 o'clock in the afternoon, she was reclining on a couch to which she had been carried, when she heard again the sweet, gentle voice of the vision. "Walk," was the word that sounded in her ear. Instantly, raising to her feet, the sick child ran to throw herself into the arms of her mother, who could scarcely credit her eyes, since for 3 months Marie had not walked one step. 3 weeks later, the young client of the Flower of Jesus made her first communion and was confirmed together with her delighted companions. When she came to see me, I placed in her hands the autobiography of Sister Therese. On seeing the first picture, she exclaimed, "This is indeed the face that I saw. I recognize it." Then she added, "She was dressed as a nun, but I did not notice her veil. It is her face alone that is stamped on my memory. And her own features seem also to bear the imprint. She has become more thoughtful and serious, and in fact, I may say that the little saint has restored her to us quite converted, as well as strong of limb."